Blog Talk Radio.
Now that's timing. There is a sixth dimension beyond that which is known to men. It is a dimension as immense as the sky and as perpetual as eternity. It is the middle ground between illumination and darkness, between knowledge and ignorance. It lies between the depths of man's horror and the apex of his learning. This is a dimension of fantasy. It is an area which we call the Eerie Zone.
Like that guy, he's got a cold or something. Good evening, welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay, not like that other guy, and I'm accompanied by
Dave Bigley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And Dale, right after our Radio Mystery Theater tonight, I have a little special presentation. It's something that doesn't have anything to do with Eerie House. Doesn't have anything to do with much of anything. A little thing I experimented with last night after the podcast. So right after the Mystery Theater, I'm going to share that with everybody here tonight.
All right, good. In the meantime, we'll also be accompanied by...
Hey! I don't see your mic on.
I do.
Okay.
All right, wait a second. We'll turn her off and turn her on. See if that works again.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Am I unmuted now?
Yeah, I don't know why
you were muted. It did not appear so in the studio. I had to turn it off and turn it on to get you back.
Yeah, you know what? He says FCW, but I saw it. It didn't get unmuted. I saw that.
And so we are accompanied by...
Hello, this is the unmutable CW here.
And good thing.
Thank you. Thank you. We want it somewhere.
I'm just picking these bus tire tracks off of me here. Oh, wait a second. Ow, all that hurts. Ooh, ow.
It never moved until you did it a second time, supposedly. What can I say?
Allegedly. But
those damn greyhounds, man. Hang on.
18-wheeler going to back up. Beep, beep.
Oh, God. Here comes
the... Yeah, leave the driving to them, Dale. Leave the driving to them.
Yes, sir. Good old Bob and Fogsbane join us in the chat. Hi, hi, and greetings and salutations. Ugga boo, ugga, ugga boo, ugga boo boo, ugga, as the saying goes.
There you go.
Ugga, ugga.
Yeah, we're still mining. We got another one more nugget for you.
I said ugga ugga once. It got slapped silly, but at least I enjoyed it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes getting slapped makes it better.
It does, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And here comes that Greyhound bus again. All right.
Oh, geez. Bump, bump. I wish I had my Large Marge soundbite, but I don't have it.
I can't believe you unloaded it.
Yeah, it would have been perfect. I can't believe that.
Large Marge is classic. Classic, I say.
Yes. There's only so much scrolling
Marge
a man can do. You have no idea how much stuff we have uploaded in the studio. When I started with my former partner, you were allowed 3 sound bites. 3. But that was the free version.
Yeah. Now the free version, only gives you like 15 minutes of airtime.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it used to be a half an hour. No, I think it was an hour, then they cut it to a half an hour. Now it's down to 15. Wonderful.
Yep, for free.
Oh. I guess it's to limit the damage you can inflict, I suppose.
I suppose. Yeah. They don't want any old schmuckies in this format here on Blog Talk. No, they want stupid guys that pay for it.
Can you write off as a loss on your taxes, Dale? Can you write off as a loss on your taxes? That's what I'm
I am not an official business yet, but that is in the works. We're going to want a real website all for ourselves, Erie House. Good times. But me not smart with this stuff, so me got to go to school a little bit.
Cool.
And I'm studying. There's some instructionals out there to view, so see what happens. See
there
if I become as I rapidly approach retirement from the real world, I can focus on the fun stuff someday soon.
Yeah. Yep.
Should I survive? But we got a show to survive tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Starring Herman Munster himself.
That's right. Bringing back Fred Gwynn for another fun episode. Yes.
Oh, wow. Outstanding.
So it'll be a good tale. The Luck Sisters. It has me intrigued as it pertains to mines.
Yeah, and it is interesting because you wonder how that the name the Luck Sisters really came about. But I guess you will eventually figure it out. I think I don't think you really get spelled out till the second act, but that's okay. That's okay. It is an interesting story, late in the spin of the Radio Mystery Theater.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this one I guess is more. I thought this was later than it was, but it isn't. This one actually was only, if we're ready to go, episode number 645. Coming to us May the 3rd of 1977.
Tonight, going to be mostly cloudy. It won't be quite so cool. We expect some scattered showers and a low of 51 degrees. Cloudy again tomorrow and into Thursday, and warmer tomorrow with a high of 76. On Thursday, a little warmer still with a high up near 80. It's 57 degrees now at Midway Airport, 54 at the lakefront, 50 degrees at O'Hare Field. The humidity is 78% and the wind is north at 5 miles per hour.
Come to the Ramble Friday night, May 20th at Great America, a benefit for United Charities from News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Tableware is something your family uses almost every day, so True Value Hardware Stores suggest you get the set that will last a long time. Their May Bargain of the Month is an individual place setting of Imperial International Tableware for just $2.99. This five-piece place setting is made of extra heavyweight stainless steel. It's durable and dishwasher safe. The hammered colonial pattern resists scratching, and this five-piece place setting consists of two forks, two spoons, and a knife. Right now, True Value Hardware Stores offer the five-piece individual place setting of stainless steel flatware by Imperial International in the contemporary hammered colonial pattern for just $2.99. It's the May Bargain of the Month, while supplies last, at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Good Luck is a giddy maid, fickle and restless as a fawn. She smooths your hair, and then the jade kisses you quickly and is gone. But Madame Bad Luck scorns all this. She shows no eagerness for flitting, but with a long and fervent kiss sits by your bed and brings her knitting. And so you have them, the Luck Sisters. Good and bad. Two ladies who cannot be wooed or courted. They pick and choose their own time and place. If only we knew how to capture one and escape the other. If only.
It's wrong.
I know.
It's indecent.
I agree.
It's immoral.
I admit.
Murder can never be justified for any reason.
That's a fact.
Then why? How can you agree to it?
The price is right.
Our mystery drama, The Luck Sisters, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Fred Gwynn. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you'd really like a big car, but you really think you ought to buy a small car, maybe what you ought to buy is a mid-size car. To be specific, a Buick Century Custom. The Century Custom, you see, offers a lot of the room and comfort you look for in a big car. And the trim size and the V6 engine give you a lot of the benefits of a small car. But the Century Custom has one more thing going for it. It's a Buick. And no matter what size car you're looking for, you just can't do much better than that.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, it relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip. And it has added strength.
You mean added strength Sinoff?
Exactly.
Added strength Sinoff tablets give you pure aspirin plus 50% more sinus drainer.
To help sinus pain while you drain.
Right. And more sinus drier for post-nasal drip.
Added strength Sinoff.
The sinus medicine in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Sinoff. Sinoff.
If a new car is looking real nice, but you're worried about the price, Dodge knows how to give you a nudge. Yeah. Dodge is talking your language.
Talking price about a new car, but those other guys aren't even talking in your price league? See your Chicagoland Dodge dealer. He's talking your language with the unbelievable Dodge Aspen. It's priced $373 less than Mercury Monarch, $302 less than Ford Granada. Based on sticker prices for comparably equipped two-door models, Aspen's hundreds of dollars less. So if our new Aspen's looking real nice, but you're worried about the price, your Chicagoland Dodge dealer knows how to give you a nudge.
Dodge is talking your language.
One of the Chicagoland Dodge dealers is Crossroads Dodge, 9009 Waukegan in Mortonville.
We have, when you add up the minutes, something less than an hour to relate our stories. And most of the time it's enough. We usually attempt to tell a tight and taut little tale that honors the Aristotelian strictures for the unities of time, place, and character. However, every now and then, we come up with what can only be called a saga, an epic that sprawls across a vast and multicolored canvas, rolling, rollicking, swashbuckling, filled with violence, intrigue, conflict, adventure, and sex. Well, what you are about to hear may qualify as a saga.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am in the town of Bulwer, high in this Rocky Mountain Valley. Bulwer is hardly more than a hamlet. It was on its way to becoming a ghost town when suddenly an enormous vein of gold was discovered in an abandoned mine. Right now, this little village has just about been invaded by the news media. I believe we even outnumber the residents. But those residents of Bulwer, the 100 registered, tax-paying, and voting citizens of Bulwer, will each become a millionaire because the mine itself is owned by the town of Bulwer. Let us rejoin the press conference outside the store of Mayor Jefferson McDowell, who is also the town barber.
Yes, sir. Town's named after Mayor Poindexter Bulwer, who was adjutant to General Grant. It later came out he was a speculator in army supplies and stole $1 million. That's Major Bulwer, not General Grant. But by that time, he was dead.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, what about the mine?
It's the old Bulwer mine. Town grew up all around it. Never was worth much. The mine, I mean, not the town.
Yeah, how did the town get possession?
Well, after Major Bulwer died, and without issue, I might say, the town took it over for back taxes.
Mr. Mayor, what would you say this new discovery means to the citizens of Bulwer?
Well, it means, once we get her into production, everybody in Bulwer's going to become a millionaire.
How was it discovered that there was gold in the mine?
She's been abandoned almost 100 years. Then, last week, little Billy Blackburn, that's Bob and Eunice Blackburn's kid, fell down a shaft. Wasn't hurt, just scared. When they dug him up, there was all this gold dust.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this will change the people in this town?
What kind of a stupid question is that? If you was to become a millionaire, wouldn't it change you?
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah?
Where have you been? You're late for supper.
Yeah. So, let's eat.
Jeff, something's wrong.
What do you think is wrong?
Maybe it's not true. The mine doesn't belong to the town. We're not going to be rich.
The mine does belong to the town, and the town can distribute the revenue from it any way it sees fit.
Then what? Jeff, are you trying to tell me maybe it all isn't on the level somehow? Maybe there's no gold?
Nope. As far as we know, there's gold.
Mm-hmm.
An engineer come in from one of those big companies. He said it might even rival the Comstock load.
Well, then, what's that look on your face?
Maria, I'm scared.
Scared? Scared of what? Oh, I see.
Do you really see, Maria?
Well, I think I do. Sure, our quiet, lovely, decent little town transformed suddenly into a, what can I call it, a flesh pot? Filled with neon lights, the pure fresh air poisoned by smoke and pollution. Bulwer will become a city with all those urban problems, juvenile delinquency, crime, prostitution, and the like. That's what's bothering you, isn't it?
No. No, none of that's bothering me.
It isn't?
Why would I care what happens to Bulwer?
Well, it's our home.
But we won't be living here no longer. We'll be spending our time in sunny Spain and the Riviera and Florida. We're going to have an apartment in New York and a flat in London.
Are you crazy?
No, Maria. I'm just saying, when you become a millionaire, you have a responsibility to maintain a certain standard of living.
Well, I never. Get to the point.
I'm afraid to tell you.
Oh, whatever else you may be, one thing you are not is afraid.
Maria, maybe I don't know how to tell you.
Well, just try.
I guess I'm waiting.
What? Waiting for what?
For the other shoe to drop.
I see. Well, what are you expecting?
Something bad.
Bad? Why?
I don't know.
Oh, then I don't understand.
No. That's not true. I know. I think I know.
Jeff, you're starting to scare me. You're the most level-headed person I know. What's bothering you?
Something bad is going to happen.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because it's the history of this town. Bad follows good like night follows day.
I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, well, look. Go back to the beginning, right? The town is named after a Civil War hero.
Mm-hmm.
It later turns out he's a crook. Bulwer was supposed to be the location of a great new gold strike, like Sutter's Mill or the Klondike. Hmm? Turns out to be a false alarm.
All right, but that's all ancient history.
Granted. Let's talk about modern history, then. The history of the last 20 years. Remember this company was going to open a plant just outside of town, rejuvenate the economy with 500 jobs?
Oh, well, I don't believe they were serious.
What are you talking about? They already started digging the foundations. Do you remember what happened? They went broke. That's what happened.
But still, that doesn't prove
anything. And the Air Force was going to put up a base on Spencer's Plateau?
Well, that wasn't definite.
What do you mean it wasn't definite? We were going to contract for the land.
Oh, Jeff, you know where the government's concerned, you've always got politics.
But the fact is, one day it was yes, and the next day it was no.
Yeah, but what can happen now?
I don't know. Something terrible.
But
you can't fight history,
yeah,
Maria.
But you yourself told me we know there's gold. Millions of dollars worth. And the engineers said it's high-grade ore. And there shouldn't be any real problems getting to it. What can happen?
Maria, honey, this is Bulwer. Depend on it. We're in trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, it's you, that reporter. How come you haven't left with the rest of them?
Because I think the real story is yet to happen. For example, Mr. Mayor, why do you appear to be so troubled?
Hmm? Troubled?
Well, obviously something's bothering you.
Oh, tell me. You've been around. You're a college-educated man. Do you believe in fate?
Fate is whatever happens. Then you look back at it and say, yes, that was fate. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to talk to you about the mine, if I may.
The mine? Oh, the mine.
Yes, and the sociological impact it'll have on this tiny community.
If you'll excuse me, I have an important appointment.
At midnight?
Oh, my goodness, then I'm really, really late. good night, sir.
This is your special reporter in Bulwer. And I can report the town is behaving in a manner close to what you might expect. There's great happiness here and great expectations. Mayor Jefferson McDowell, however, seems somewhat different from his fellow townspeople. He takes long walks at night. Those who know him say he's suddenly become very serious. Certainly, he appears to be extremely introspective. It's almost as if he knows something that is hidden from everyone else. Is it true? More on the town of Bulwer on my regular broadcast this evening.
Jeff?
Yeah?
Darling, why aren't you asleep?
I'm thinking.
All this turning and tossing is keeping me awake.
Sorry.
Jeff, can't you explain what's bothering you?
I told you. It's this pattern of good and bad that seems to haunt Bulwer.
Well, I guess it's true.
Oh, I see you're not fighting me anymore. Huh?
Surely and simply in the interest of getting my beauty sleep, I solved the problem.
Hmm? What are you saying?
Darling, this will be the craziest thing you ever heard. Do you believe in luck?
Sure.
Well, now let's say good luck is a good angel. So then bad luck would be...
A bad angel.
Right. Now, we got two of those angels in this town.
You've really got to explain this.
Well, the Miller sisters, Eunice and Janice.
Eunice Blackburn and Janice Holling.
Those two.
You lost me. You just lost me.
Well, all I've been doing is exploring your subject, history. Now, here you have those twin girls, Janice and Eunice Miller. And by now, they're grown women.
Eunice and Janice.
Yes, study it. Everything that Eunice does, everything and everybody she's connected with, turns out fine. On the other hand, Janice...
Wait.
As far back as you can remember, hasn't it been that Eunice brought everybody good luck and Janice caused nothing but trouble?
No, as a matter of fact...
Now, before you dig around for all the evidence, and there's whole volumes of it, just a couple of simple things. Janice was engaged to Tom Patterson, who went off to Vietnam and got killed. Eunice married Bob Blackburn, who put in 4 years, never got a scratch, got the Congressional Medal of Honor, and came back a colonel.
And the mine. Little Billy Blackburn goes berry picking with his Aunt Janice and falls down that abandoned shaft just because he was with Janice.
But just because he's Eunice's son, he not only comes out without a scratch, but we strike gold.
Okay. Review the past 20 years. And now maybe you know what I mean when I say I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
All right. But what possible calamity can Janice bring about now?
It has to follow. It has to. Remember, it was through Eunice's husband, Bob Blackburn, the Air Force was interested in building the base.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who was the head of planning came down. He was impressed. He was interested. The deal was just about to go through. We put him up for the night in Janice's house. The next day, somehow, everything cooled down.
Oh, still, you can't blame Janice.
It's not time for credit, and it's no time for blame. All we can go by are facts. The same thing with the factory that was going to be built here. It was Janice who...
Jeff, we have no proof.
We have facts.
Where are you going?
Out.
It's 3 a.m.
I know, but I don't have a minute to lose. I have to save the town. The mine, the gold. All of us.
before it's too late.
Too late for what?
Well, what are we talking about?
We seem to be talking about people who carry luck, good or bad, around with them. Superstition? Old wives' tale? Before you make your judgment, consider many of the commonplace things we take for granted today, like telephones, airplanes, not to mention spaceflight, were once old wives' tales, and people who spoke about them seriously could be burned or hanged. I hope you will hang around with burning anticipation for Act Two.
Mr. Winkowski, I understand you're the
manager of the supermarket. Yes, may I help you?
My wife is cooking swordfish surprise tonight.
Thank you, but I've already made plans.
No, no. The thing is, I have to know which would taste best on it, these fresh lemons or this bottle of Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
Well, as the store manager, I have to remain impartial. I couldn't possibly.
All I'm asking is which I should buy, big deal.
Sir, when I became manager of this store 12 years ago, I took an oath to remain neutral in these matters.
Hey, nobody's around. Should I buy these fresh lemons?
Well, they do taste like fresh lemons.
How about this Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice?
The juice of fresh lemons, 100%.
No preservatives?
No.
Then they both taste and smell like fresh lemons.
Exactly.
So come on, which one should I buy?
Just between us.
Of course.
The Minute Maid squeeze bottle here is definitely more convenient.
So you'd say I should buy...
The Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice.
All right, Winkowski, that's it.
What?
I'm Jenkins from the front office. You're in a lot of trouble, fella.
No.
You took an oath 12 years ago. Come with me.
Minute Maid 100% pure lemon juice in your grocer's freezer. Now fresh lemon juice doesn't have to come in a lemon.
Yeah, that poor dude got busted. Anyway.
That was Chicken Man. That was Chicken Man.
That was Chicken Man?
Yep.
What are you doing hanging around the grocery store?
Well, see, they formed this advertising agency, and they've done some great, great, funny, hilarious commercials. I even saw one television commercial they did, but it just doesn't work out like they do for radio.
Yeah. Yep.
Like us, they have a face for radio, Dale.
Here you go. You know, they don't make radio commercials like they used to. They used to be so much fun. So much fun.
Well, the jingles and stuff, but you know what? They don't even write a TV theme song anymore. What do you think they're going to write a radio jingle? The only radio jingles you hear are ones that they've had for like 30, 40 years, you know, 50 years, you know. Those are the jingles you get to hear.
Like, get rehashing, hashing old jingles and old advertisements. They call the retro. No,
I hate to tell you
advertising agency.
I hate to tell you this, but there is one product that has been consistently putting out jingles, one product type, and that's medicines.
Really?
Notice every medicine has a jingle.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I've noticed a couple, but they were music that I know is to be stock music, so I don't, but I haven't heard the jingles.
It's an evil plot by the medical industry.
Oh,
Let me ask
you guys something. X-Files. These are the Lux sisters. We're getting into the Lux sisters here. Do you guys really believe in luck, or that you make your own luck?
I believe that you can positively impact future events. Do I believe in luck? I believe that luck is a perception. It is. It's a perception, and it is not based on logic.
Wow, that's
deep.
Gambling can be, but luck is not, because gambling is based on math usually.
Yeah, and the odds are in favor of the house. Yeah,
Every time, every time. In the long house, in the long haul, the house is going to win.
Yep. What about you, CW?
I believe in taking advantage of other people's bad luck. How's that for yin and yang?
Oh, a looter, huh?
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's my side gig. That's my side gig.
It.
There you are.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean... I have the good luck of being able to obtain Wi-Fi without paying for it because they have the bad luck of hiring people who don't turn it off when their business is closed.
There you go.
See? There you are.
Well done. Well done.
And that your apartment is on top of an Arby's, that doesn't hurt any, yeah.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Yes, yes, yes.
What?
Yes, that does.
I did not know this. Why am I the last to know? Anyway.
the oldest curly.
I kind of believe luck is what you make. If you sit down and just wait for luck to happen to you, it's not going to happen. You know,
unless you're lucky.
Yeah. I would never have been here tonight if it hadn't been for pushing myself and putting myself in a position to do the movie show and onto the other things and onto other people's shows and onto Erie House Radio and things like that. I used to sit there and wonder, I'll tell you this story. I used to sit there and wonder how all these people I knew that were in radio and other, like a lot of people in NPR radio, I know several of those. They always had all these other great gigs and stuff. And I said, how do you do that? And I found out you don't wait for it. You squeeze your way in a little bit and you make your room for yourself and things happen or don't happen. But I just kind of feel luck is what you make, not what you just sit there and like you said, unless you're lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, you're right.
In other words,
you can impact your future.
In other words, yeah, there you are. Instead of a nice way of saying it, Dave, squeezing your way in is you elbowed the other person out of the way.
No, because there's room for everyone. I've always said that.
Yes.
And you make your own. If you make yourself a little bit more original in a different way than everyone else, let's face it, movie hosting, we're all hosting. Well, I host a little different ones, but everyone has hosted all the same movies before I came along in the internet crowd. And I did the mysteries and different things, but I kind of snuck in doing it differently, relying on the skits and the jokes as much as, you know, the movie and hopefully the personalities of the people that are my cast and such. So there is room for everybody. And advice I give when we go to Gullardi Fest or things like that is they say, well, I want to be like Svengoolie. Said, good, but put your own touch on it. Don't just be Svengoolie. Be a little bit of you. And that kid one day may have his own internet show.
Wow, that makes sense. I mean, you go to the grocery store. How many different loaves of bread are they? I mean, it's all bread, but it's different bread. It's labeled differently. It's new and improved. It's this, it's that. It's
they put different things in it, in the bread too. You know what I mean? Some are more egg based or whatever, and
more riboflavin, more niacin, more new and improved. Super duper vitamin, which means someone stands over the big vat of dough with one dropper. Bing! Okay, it has extra.
There's your
vitamin.
Yeah, bing. There's your vitamin.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, no. That's a supplement. It's no longer vitamins. It's a supplement.
Supplement, yes.
Oh,
yes, they call them supplements now.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, superfood. No, sorry. It's a superfood now. Okay. Chia pet. The chia is now in your food. Chia.
Mm-hmm. And somebody just got beamed aboard.
I did. Thank you.
Oh,
I was
well
somewhere
done.
Else.
Well
I was somewhere else. Now I'm back. Yes.
Yep. Well, good old Bob commented on my earlier comment. He said the drug companies changed directions. They quit bribing and schmoozing doctors. Instead, they're pushing the drugs to the public, and the patients apply pressure to the doctors. Very sneaky. I agree.
Yeah.
That's part of
yeah.
the problem. That's part of the problem.
Here.
And even though they've somewhat been approved, they haven't really been completely tested out. And so what they can do to get people to buy these millions, maybe billions of dollars of prescriptions that they force their doctors into giving them, And then they find out they aren't safe, and they pull them from the thing and say, well, we didn't know. And so they made all that money. They
could,
with all the with a billion or so that they made from it, they could afford to give out a few thousand, a couple million to those that did it. I swear that's their recipe.
Class action lawsuit where everyone gets about $12.47.
Right, except for the lawyers, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The lawyers make out.
Oh, my, do they ever.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about mining for gold. Well, it's doctors' fault. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to digress quickly here. It's the medical association's fault. They never listen to their patients. I mean, you take your pet to the vet. The vet looks at your their patient, kind of listens to the little wolf meow, bark, you know, and gives them more credence. Well, you go in your doctor, before you can even say, ah, they say, okay, this, that, and the other thing, write out a prescription, buy, next patient. I mean, you get herded in and herded out.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't ever listen to you unless you grab them by the lapels with a lawyer.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, off of our soapbox and on to part two of the Love Sisters. Maybe they'll have more luck at the doctor's office. I don't know. But pretty good story here with Fred Gwynn as the mayor of this town.
It's a little dicey now.
Duvernay. Smart people have enjoyed it for years.
As we switch to Duvernay, life's our way, not too dry and not too sweet. It makes it easy, quite complete. Before, yes, before, the time is right for Duvernay.
Before lunch, before dinner, before any of their friends have tried it, Duvernay. It all started in France. Where else?
Before, yes, before, the time is right for Duvernay.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and Duvernay has a way to surprise the beautiful lady or ladies in your life with an unusually beautiful gift. The Duvernay Duo, a bottle of Duvernay Red and a bottle of Duvernay Blonde, together. In one handsome Moulin Rouge gift box. Duvernay Red or Blonde, enjoyable anytime. Before lunch, before dinner, before anything. So this Mother's Day, look for the Duvernay Duo. If Mom's not worth it, who is? Duvernay Aperitif Wines, products of USA, Duvernay Company, New York, New York.
Chemically, structurally, it's a simple and relatively uncomplicated element. And yet, it has within it a mysterious essence that can completely change human nature. Or is that really true? Can we basically be altered by gold? Or does gold merely act as the catalyst to speed up changes that were always ready and waiting to happen?
Janice, it's me, Jeff McDowell.
Well, what is it, Jeff?
Janice, I've got to talk to you.
Jeff, do you know what time it is?
I know what time it is. Can I come in?
Well?
Janice, I don't know how to say this.
Say what?
I don't even know how to begin.
Well, as Miss Ballantyne, our fifth grade teacher, used to say, begin at the beginning.
The beginning. We go back a long way, you and I, Janice.
You never should remind a lady of her age, Jeff.
And many things have happened. Oh, it's no use. The only way to say this is say it right out, straight out.
Yes.
I want to tell you that...
That you're in love with me. Is that it?
Janice, that's not what...
You want a divorce, Maria?
No.
Are you suggesting that we have an affair?
Janice, listen.
In a small place like this, how long do you think it could be kept a secret?
You've got it all wrong. I want to ask you to leave town...
No, Jeff. You've got it all wrong.
It's not what I came here to talk about. I came here to ask you to leave town, and it has nothing to do with me or you. It's for the good of Bulwer.
Is that a fact?
Janice, you must leave town before it's too late.
You ring my bell at 3 a.m. to tell me to leave town? If it's a joke, I'm not amused.
I'll put it this way. Look, 300 years ago, you would have been burned at the stake.
Your conversation isn't getting more pleasant either.
You and Eunice, the Miller sisters, what's the history of the Miller sisters?
I must ask you to leave, Jeff.
You, Janice, you bring misfortune, tragedy. Eunice has always brought good things, great things, wonderful things to everyone about her.
I can't believe I'm sitting here listening to this.
She brings us good luck. You bring us bad. Maybe it can be spread like a disease, and you could be the carrier.
There's the door, Jefferson McDowell.
Janice, there's no malice in this. I promise you, I'm stating a fact.
So am I. Get out.
Consider, Janice, everybody who's ever been associated with you has... In high school, you went out with Freddie Price.
So did other girls.
Come on, Janice. Remember the senior album? You and Freddie were voted Romeo and Juliet, and he had a great future as a ball player. The big league scouts were here to see him. But the day he gave you his pin, he broke his arm. And that was the end of him.
And what did I have to do with that?
It doesn't get any better, Janice. The Patterson boy. Remember, you got engaged just before he went to Vietnam? He was killed, and your husband, Joe, he was killed in a plane crash.
Jeff, I have had a very tragic life. Things have always gone badly.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, and there's a reason for it.
Are you saying it's my fault?
Yes. Oh, you're unaware of it. You're not personally responsible for it. It's just one of those things.
And you have come here at 3 a.m. to tell me that?
Yes, because we may not have very much time.
Time for what?
The mine. Look, we could sit here for hours, going all the way back to when you were a little kid, and we could come up with hundreds of examples, but, well, here we have the mine. The rediscovery of the mine. It could mean millions, maybe billions of dollars. So, please, don't kill it.
Kill it? How?
I don't know. How did you kill all those other things?
But I'm telling you, I didn't do anything.
And I'm telling you, it's not what you do or what you did, but what you are.
What am I?
I could say a jinx. I could say a witch. But what does that mean? You've heard of Lady Luck? Okay. So there's also Lady Bad Luck. Janice, I'm so scared something will come up to ruin the mine. Please.
Please what?
Please leave town.
As one of the 100 citizens of Bulwer, I understand I own 1% of that mine. Is this a scheme to steal my share?
I swear to you, I believe with all my heart that if you stay here, there won't be any money or shares or anything for anybody. Something will happen to that mine.
So I'm to leave town?
Yes, Janice.
Leave town and go where? Go where, Jeff? This is my home. I don't know any other place. This is all I have.
Janice, I know how you feel.
How? How do you know? How do you know what it feels like to be a woman who has nothing and nobody? No husband, no kids, no career. I never even went to college. They sent Eunice out east. She was the smart one, the pretty one.
Janice, it isn't anybody's fault. It's the way things just happen to be, I guess.
And now, you want me to give up the only thing I have in the world, my home. The answer is no.
Janice.
This is my home. You can't force me to leave it.
Good morning. This is your special reporter in the tiny town of Bulwer, which has been struck by the golden lightning of sudden wealth. Let me say at this point that I seem to feel an unexpected reaction. You would expect most people to be exhilarated by the prospect of wealth. And yet, most of these town folk seem sobered by it. Does this mean that they are highly mature, sensitive to the responsibilities of great wealth? Or is there something we don't know?
Ah!
It's dawned on me. It's finally dawned on me.
What, Maria?
That we're going to be rich.
It may not happen.
Now what?
Do you believe what you were telling me about the Miller sisters, especially Janice?
Well, I don't...
Was it just talk, conversation, or what?
Oh, well, maybe I don't know if I believe it or not.
I believe it.
Jeff.
Jeff, what? Am I right? Am I wrong? What do you think?
Oh, I wish I knew.
I believe it. I went to see Janice.
To say what? To do what?
To ask her to leave town.
What? How could you just ask her to leave?
That's what she asked me.
Oh, what did you tell her?
The truth. She's entitled to know.
What did she say?
She said no.
So? Now what?
I don't know.
Oh, yes. Yes, you do. You know you're going to talk it over with Jim Delray, Harvey Parkins, and Colonel Bob. And then you're going to...
Yeah. I guess I am going to do that. But what happens next? That... I don't know.
And?
I guess that's the size and shape of it, Colonel Bob. What do you think of it?
What do I think of it?
Janice is your sister-in-law. You, if anybody, are the town's leading citizen.
But you're the mayor.
Only because you don't want the job. You're famous. War hero. Bob, what's your opinion? Is this just a bunch of superstitious foolishness?
You seem to believe it. And from what I gather, so does everybody else in this town.
Oh, then folks have been talking to you.
Everybody talks to me, Jeff.
I know what I am. I'm a hick, a provincial. I got a high school education, but I never been anywhere, never done anything, just a country boy. But you've been all over the world, met all kinds of interesting, important people, so this thing... This thing, what is the to it? Anything at all?
When I was going to engineering school, Jeff, in our lab courses, we studied the scientific method. You know what that is?
I'm sure it's too complicated for me.
No, that's where you're wrong. It's very, very simple. Has to do with cause and effect. You follow this?
I think so.
The classic one they give is with a dog. Every time, just before you feed a dog... You ring a bell.
Why would you do that?
Oh, that has to do with the experiment. The dog hears the bell, he sees the food, he starts to salivate, you see?
Well, that makes sense.
Now then, after a while, every time the dog even hears the bell, he begins to salivate. That's what's known as cause and effect. Now, we got the same thing here. Cause and effect. Every time we get something going in this town, thanks to Janice, it goes up in smoke.
Then you're saying there is something to it.
Oh, sure. I knew it. I always knew it.
Then why didn't you say something?
Say what? And to who?
Well,
who'd have believed me? I guess the idea was before its time. But now... Now that I see that other folks have come to the same conclusion, it's time we all got together.
What would we be getting together for?
You should know, Jeff. You know. You're mayor of this town. You feel it's your duty to get something done about it.
I wish I knew what it was. I talked to Janice. I asked her to leave town. She turned me down.
Naturally.
So... Where are we?
You know where we are, Jeff. You may not like where we are. Nobody does. But we are at the point where we have to do something about Janice.
I admit it, but what?
I think you know, Jeff. I think you know.
If you're a member in good standing of our audience, I think you know too. For
poor Janice Miller Hollings. It is her fate to be a carrier of bad luck. Such people, when found out throughout history, have suffered for it. Ah, but you say this was all in the past. Today we are advanced, sophisticated, civilized. You want to bet? Act 3 will be here shortly.
You've never had a really exotic car, have you? Because you've always felt that you needed something a little more down to earth. But you still want that exotic car, don't you? You know what you need? A Buick Skyhawk. It's small, it's V6 powered. Hey, it's even got a hatchback. Now that's down to earth. But with things like bucket seats, available 5-speed manual transmission, and that laid-back, low-down styling, it's not exactly plain vanilla. The Buick Skyhawk. The car you need and the car you want.
You're moving away from home, Shelley. What will you do without your mother to shorten a hem, make you a Halloween costume?
Don't worry, Mom. I just bought a Singer sewing machine. It does everything you always did by hand. It zigzags, blind hems, sew stretch stitches.
At the Singer once-in-a-lifetime sale, the 533 Stylist free-arm machine is only $165, the lowest price ever.
How can a baby of 35 know how to sew?
Price is optional at participating dealers.
When you save at Northwest Federal, they have lots of ways to thank you. There's a special club that encourages kids to save, a club for senior savers, and special programs throughout the year for all Northwest Federal savers. Plus, if you deposit $250 or more at any Northwest Federal Savings Center, you can choose a gift free or for a special low price. Gifts to help you with all of those spring and summer activities, like a True Temper lawn rake, a Burgess Fluidic sprinkler to help shape up your lawn, a Structo barbecue grill for cookouts, or an aluminum folding table for all of those picnics that you're planning. There are over 30 gifts to choose from, free or at greatly reduced prices. This offer has been extended through June the 10th and is available at any of the 5 convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
WBBM.
And, of course, Erie House Radio.
And Erie House Radio.
Yep, yep. That's our NBC chimes right there. The goat. Yep.
Sounds like his battery's charged.
It is. Battery is charged. It changed and charged.
Nice to know you changed your goat.
As long as I didn't get my goat, I'm okay, you know.
There you go. Pretty good story, of which I missed a few moments as I had to reboot to reconnect. I completely lost contact, so I had to kind of just restart and do it all over again. But that's okay.
But we didn't miss a beat. We did not miss a beat here.
I'll pick it up running when we complete part 3, the finale of the Luck Sisters. So,
absolutely.
I don't know.
I feel sorry for her. I mean, you know, not her fault. Everything sticks to her like Velcro. Bad luck.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that luck is kind of like a perception. It's almost a wrinkle of the mind is a world within itself. It can make a hell of heaven or a heaven of hell. We know people like that. They're very maybe fortunate in ways that we are not, and yet they're always griping all the time how miserable their life is. You know what I mean? Sometimes it seems like sometimes people with money have more relationship problems or something like that, and they're miserable. But, and then it's a perception, and it's all on your perspective. I've had a lot of horrible things happen to me in my life, but I feel like a very lucky person because I walked away from most of those horrible things, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Is there any walk away? Crash is a good landing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Any crash you walk away from is a good landing.
You know,
yeah,
when you were
wisdom in there.
Said Harrison Ford.
You know, you're giving your little perspective talk. It reminded me of a night gallery segment that John Astin did, where he was like a hippie, and he crashed like his van or his motorcycle and slid down the chute and ended up in a place where a guy was stuck in a room with these older people who were playing records and showing slideshows. And he said, this is like really hell, man. He says, well, it's a matter of perspective, because for you, it's hell. For them, this is heaven. They just sit there, and they're together, and they're looking at, reviewing their life and the slides and the music they liked and things like that. But for you, it's not your music. It's not your life. It's not your slides. So it's hell for you.
Yeah, so shop and enjoy.
All in the same place. That's right.
That is. I mean, some people actually are insane enough to enjoy algebra.
I was one of those. Once.
Gosh, I knew something was really wrong with you. Now I'm definitely certain.
Yeah, I was a math geek in school. I was an absolute math geek.
Yeah.
And I had no practical use for that information these days.
Most people on this planet, no matter what their career, I don't care if they're someone who's a computer geek, someone who's a great chef, anywhere in between, 99.9% of them will not ever need to know X plus Y times 3 equals what?
Yeah.
Who gives a...
I know the answer. It means it equals Oreo cookies, right? Right? Am I right?
Yeah,
Oreo
actually.
Cookies?
Yeah, how do you know?
Okay, that's right. Or ice cream and old-time radio.
Oh, yeah.
Cookies go with cookies and milk go with comic books, but ice cream goes with old-time radio.
Absolutely. Yeah,
definitely. I concur wholeheartedly.
Especially chocolate chip. I don't know why they go with comic books, especially Marvel. I don't know. Go figure. Pre-2000 Marvel, anyway.
For DC, you have to use frozen yogurt? Is that what you're saying, Dale?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure. Yeah.
Something like that. In any event, let's wrap up the Luck Sisters. It's a longie, so we'll see you just shy of 20 minutes as we wrap up the Luck
This
Sisters.
Is WBBM Chicago.
Sacrifice. Society is based on it. We give up some of our liberty for the greater good. Our ancestors sacrificed the individual to turn aside the wrath of the gods and spare the tribe. A general sacrifices a battalion to save an army. For the common good, the majority can usually justify any sacrifice, especially morality. Morality, how weak, how fragile, how friendless she can sometimes be.
You know what we have to do about Janice, Jeff?
There's just no way we can force her to leave town.
I admit that.
Besides, you've got this newspaper correspondent poking around.
I wouldn't worry about him. Nobody will tell him anything.
But you just admitted we can't force Janice to leave town.
That's right. Even if she up and left, that wouldn't do any good.
Why not?
Because she'd still be alive.
Oh.
There it is. Oh.
No, Bob. We could never.
All right, Jeff. Take a little more time. You talk yourself into it.
I could never talk myself into murder.
Jeff, never is a very long time.
I don't think you know me very well, Bob.
Jeff, right now, the mayor and the town council of Bulwer, that's you, me, Harvey, Jim. We're receiving bids from mining companies to develop and exploit the property for us. The lowest one is for $250 million. We have 100 citizens, so that's a minimum of 2.5 million each.
I know.
It's better than that. Because you and Maria each get 2.5 million, so do Eunice and I. Harvey and his wife have 3 grown sons, so his family stands to get, what, $12.5 million. That's what's involved here, Jeff.
I know.
So, then you know what you have to do. Jeff, the second the idea occurred to you, you knew how it would have to end. You've been fighting it.
Yes, I've been fighting it.
We've all got to agree. We have all got to agree.
Have you spoken of this to anyone else?
Yes. Yes, I have, to just about everyone. This thing has been gathering momentum without you. Now you've got to come on board.
How about the women?
Oh, yes, they have to be part of it.
You mean you told Eunice?
Who? She's the one who convinced me.
Good evening. This is your special correspondent in Bulwer, Colorado. This is the strangest town I've ever seen. The prospect of wealth, fabulous wealth, has frightened every inhabitant. There will be wealth. Each of them shall become rich beyond their dreams. I understand the bidding to exploit the property will go as high as $500 million. Ladies and gentlemen, divide that 100 ways. I have been promised an interview with a lady who lives in this town later on, Janice Miller Hollings.
It's wrong.
Yes.
Yet it's the will of the majority.
Well, that's not going to help. It's murder, and it's wrong.
Yet, I know after we say everything there is to say, we're going to go along with it.
Are we?
Yes. We have no choice. It's just too much money. At least $5 million for you and me. Maybe more, maybe twice that much.
$10 million? It isn't right, Jeff. It isn't right.
I know.
What I mean is, it isn't right to tempt human beings like this. It's just too much money. It's worth Janice Miller's life.
Janice Miller Hollings.
You want to know the truth? The terrible truth? I never liked her.
All right. You can say that. I'll say it too.
Say what?
Whatever it is. We're starting to justify it. Oh. Finding reasons for it.
Yes, I realize.
We have to, if we want to be able to look at ourselves.
I'll never be able to again.
You will. Oh, yes. As time goes on, you'll find reasons to show you did the right thing. We'll be convinced that she was the most evil woman in the world, and we'll discover facts to prove it. Eventually, we'll all feel like saints for our part in this.
Oh, Jeff, I...
You know how I always like to study history, Maria? Well, most of your history is rewritten.
Oh, Jeff, we're going to have blood on our hands.
Nothing like gold to hide the color of blood. Oh, yeah, we'll have a few bad days. And then it'll be all over.
Hi there, Miss Miller, or is it Mrs. Holly?
It can be anything you like.
You promised me an interview, remember?
Did I?
You most certainly did. Now, I understand you have a twin sister, and the two of you are as different as night and day.
Well, if you know all about me, why do you wish to interview me?
None of us really know all about another human being, Miss Miller.
Nor should we.
You strike me as a very sensible person. I'm sure we could have a most agreeable interview.
I was warned about big city types like you.
I promise I'll be all business.
But I'm not too sure I like that.
Well, why don't I take you to dinner this evening?
Why don't I cook dinner at my house?
I can't think of a single reason against it.
Till this evening, then.
Jeff?
Oh, hello, Bob.
I figured the shop would be empty this time of day. How about a little trim?
Sit right down.
You,
You spoke to Maria?
Yeah.
And?
And this thing's like that ancient, what do they call that terrible machine nobody could stop?
A juggernaut.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. Just rolls over everybody and everything. You just can't make any argument against it.
That's true.
So we're just going to blithely kill Janice Miller.
Well, it won't be blithely. Nobody's going to enjoy it.
Do we have to even talk about it?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
What's there to say?
You know, Jeff, I've been barbered in New York, London, Paris. I even spent $50 for a haircut, but none of those characters can touch you.
What's there to talk about now?
How to do it.
100 citizens in this town. Funny how we could get 99 to agree to kill one of them.
Why is it funny? Maybe it is. Because that's life. You surprised?
I'm surprised it was so easy. It took so little time.
Jeff, the leading citizens should do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up to us, pillars of the community, I guess.
You, me, Harv, and Jim.
The mayor and the three councilmen. Well, what do we do? We just can't shoot her, can we? Good Lord, listen to what I'm saying.
No, we can't. It has to be an accident. Jeff, you think you're taking too much off the front there?
If I thought I was taking too much off the front, I wouldn't do it, would I? What kind of accident is she supposed to have?
Well, fortunately, her house is just across from the abandoned shaft opening.
No, what do you suggest, that we throw her down there?
Nothing that crude. Dynamite.
There's nothing subtle about dynamite.
You see, this company, International Precious Metals, that's bidding for the mine, they have a truck here. It's got dynamite in it. It's parked near the shaft that's just across from Janice's house. It can blow up.
Huh? How?
How do I know? An accident.
But her place is at least 100 feet away. Is there that much dynamite in the truck?
Oh, yes, there certainly will be.
And, who?
The four of us will help wire, and we'll have an automatic fuse to set it off.
Huh. And that's it?
All of our problems are over.
When do you want to do it?
We want to do it as soon as it gets dark.
About 7 o'clock.
Huh. Be there. I guess we're all here and ready.
That's a lot of dynamite.
Has to do a big job. Jeff, you attach these wires.
Yep.
Careful. Come on, Jeff. We can't stop now.
But wait.
But nothing. Now, this is it. Start walking. Less than a minute, it'll be all over.
Bob, you sure it'll do the job.
I'm sure.
You're sure nothing else will be...
The only house within 300 yards. The thing will rattle windows all over town, but all the damage is going to be directed toward that.
I'd give all the money I'll ever see from that mine not to have done this.
Now, how fast can you run? I estimate we're 100 yards away from the dynamite. We've got 15 seconds. Can you run 115 seconds?
Well, in school I could run 109.8.
Now, here we go. You got 11 seconds back there. Pull a fuse. Now you got 10. Now, you pass the point of no return. We better hit the ground.
Bob.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
Bob, it didn't go off. We're saved.
Well, I could have been a couple of seconds off.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your reporter at the town of Bulwer. Except there is no town of Bulwer any longer. It is buried under millions of tons of dirt and rock. the only survivor is the luckiest woman in the world, Miss Janice Miller, who is standing beside me now. Miss Miller, what exactly did happen?
Well, we don't get them often, but when we do, we do. This was an avalanche. As you know, Bulwer was in a valley hemmed in by very steep mountains.
But what set it off, Miss Miller?
Well, you and I heard what set it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, I should explain. Miss Miller and I had made a date for her interview to be taped at dinner, which she kindly offered to prepare for me at her house. But at the last moment, for some reason, we decided to drive to a restaurant in Council Fork, some 40 miles away. Why did we decide to do that, Miss Miller?
I don't know. We just decided.
What did set off the avalanche, Miss Miller?
We were a long way off, but we heard an explosion.
Yes, I thought it was thunder.
If you'd been raised in a mining town, you know the sound of dynamite.
But where was the dynamite?
I noticed a truck outside my house just before we left. I'm sure there was dynamite in it.
But what could have set it off?
Who knows? Anything. Or nothing. That's dynamite.
And this explosion triggered the avalanche.
Definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an eerie sight. Here was once a hamlet of over 100 human beings. All of them are now covered by tons of rock. This disaster struck without warning, with bewildering speed. There was no time to sound an alarm, no time to make an escape. I suppose all this debris will be bulldozed away, and this fantastically rich mine will belong to the sole survivor of Bulwer, Miss Janice Miller. Miss Miller, you are the luckiest lady in the world. Fortune's favorite.
Funny. I always thought of myself as Miss Fortune's favorite. But I guess if you live long enough, the worm turns. The road turns. And your luck turns.
Of course. There's a category of stories known as the getting hoist by your own petard type, or the scaffold of Haman kind. You know, Haman, who built the scaffold for Mordecai and wound up stepping off it himself. We love such stories because you can't beat poetic justice, and they speak for themselves. At the end, they leave me with nothing to say except that I shall return in a few moments.
Not so long ago, a lot of people spent a lot of happy hours in shirts with button-down collars. In fact, they liked them so much and bought so many of them, the button-down shirt became a classic. Well, the people at the Arrow Shirt Company figure once a classic, always a classic. If people liked button-down shirts that much then, they'd probably like them again today. So your old friend, the Arrow button-down shirt, is back and as likable as ever, with that traditional style and look in all kinds of patterns and fabrics. It's called Dover, and like all Arrow shirts, the new Arrow Dover button-down shirt looks good, feels good, and fits good, from the soft collar right down to the tail. The Arrow Dover button-down shirt. It's back, and it's a classic. An Arrow classic. Brought back for you to like all over again.
It's hard to miss with Arrow. Arrow shirts.
Arrow, America's shirt maker.
Down where I come from, we got a way of fixing ribs over hot coals in the ground. We turn those ribs and baste them in a good red sauce for half a day. And are they something?
Now you can get that half-a-day flavor in about half an hour. Ribs in a sauce with a long-turn, deep-basted flavor you can't believe. Presto ribs, and the magic happens in your Presto pressure cooker. Presto is the magic word. Pressure is the magic reason. The only way you can cook that flavor in this good, this easy.
Carnation, them some ribs.
You knew Presto pressure cooking was fast, but did you know it was the most versatile appliance in your kitchen? Ribs, roasts, and don't forget vegetables with all the vitamins and nutrients cooked in, not out. Presto is the magic word. Pressure is the magic reason.
Carnation, they're good.
See your Presto dealer now and start with this great recipe for Presto ribs. The recipe is featured in Presto ads in many of this month's women's magazines.
We began these ceremonies with a poem by Heinrich Heine, which celebrated the ladies who control fortune, good and bad. And if they are fickle, volatile, and unpredictable, would you have them any other way? Isn't it marvelous to live in suspense, uncertain of the morrow, not knowing which of these ladies will knock on your door and enter your room? And do you require a word of caution? Well, remember, since luck is a lady, treat her like one. And she will always treat you like a gentleman. Our cast included Fred Gwynn, Bryna Rayburn, Russell Horton, and Carol Tytel. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
Macabre.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Cheaper breads, but they're not always as fresh and soft the way kids like bread.
When you send a lunch to school, make this the daily rule. Send Wonder.
Kids eat it up. Try Wonder English muffins too.
Well, what kind there you of go.
Beer do they, what kind of beer do they drink? I don't know. That was our story of the Lux sisters. Did any of you suspect that maybe she made her own luck?
You know, I was kind of sort of thinking that.
I mean,
her first boyfriend, who was the soon-to-be famous ball player, his arm broke. Maybe he was cheating on her. And
In high school?
Oh, you guys, you start early.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I just wonder if she caught wind of the plot, you know, and decided to create her own.
Too.
Or was she that diabolical?
A small town. Let's go out for dinner tonight. Yeah. What? Yeah. The closest restaurant is 40 miles away? Okay. Let's go.
That's just about right. 40, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be a safe bet. We'll have a good time.
Yeah. I did learn something else from this, though.
You did?
I did.
Oh, really?
I was going to say, what was that? But first... Eerie House Radio proudly presents A Garrulous Moral of the Story.
Apologies to Gar. Luck is just a matter of a coin toss. It either gets to bust, or in this case, boom.
Yep, there you go.
I'm looking for the thing I was going to do special here. It moved on me. Ah, there it is. Okay.
Have either of you ever been in a mine, whether it be it coal, gold, silver, or otherwise?
Not me.
Sorry, what?
I've been in a cavern, but not a mine. Have you ever been in a mine? A mine?
Yes.
Yeah,
I have.
You have? What kind of a mine?
Yes.
Or should I mine my own business?
Well, there's that, but no, I have been in a mine. It's a gypsum mine.
Ah.
Yep. And they take all your money, eat gypsum.
Ooh.
Thinking about it, the one time I if you can call taking time off and go to West Virginia vacation, I did step into a coal mine, but just into it. I didn't go down or anything. I just stepped into the entrance of a coal mine.
Hmm.
No, we kind of sort of went deeper in. No bats that I remember, but you needed definitely a flashlight. It wasn't as bad as one would think, actually. I mean, it was damp, so it got a little muddy in some spots, but it was very quiet, quiet as the grave.
I have been in a cave, but not a mine. Like the caves in southern Ohio, Dave, have you ever been in those? It's like really dark.
I was in the cavern, cave, whatever you want to call it there, yeah. But
Oh, you have caves there?
Yeah, in southern Ohio.
It's a good 3.5 hours away, yeah.
Nope, yeah. I've never been in a cave, just a mine.
There's a theory that all the guys from West Virginia came from those caves, but I'm not sure.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
There goes the West Virginia audience. Goodbye.
Yeah, both of them.
It's a joke.
No, it's amazing because when they shut off the lights, that is true, absolute.
I was wondering if
darkness.
I did that to you. Yes.
Yes.
I was quite a young'un when we did that because I lived closer to it then in Springfield. And they shut off the lights, and I must have been like 4 years old. And I did kind of freak out a little. Yeah.
I was old enough to have a lighter, so if I had nothing to panic if somebody tried playing games.
Great.
I'm telling you, when the great, I've said this a million times, but when the great apocalypse, bleh, I can't speech right. When the great apocalypse comes, you guys will be looking for us.
Yeah.
And I'll say, no, you can't have my fire, but you can have a cigarette.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that terrible? And with that, I spin wheel.
Around and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Good evening, anybody. This is Henry Morgan. I'd like a word or two with the high school set, if I may. No, not you. I want the wise guys. The ones who write letters beginning, "Dear Mr. Morgan, it may interest you to know that." And then they point out a mistake I made, usually something frightfully trivial, of course. And then the rest of the letter is taken up with assorted gems of abuse. You're the guys I want to talk to. Listen, Weisenheimers, does any one of you know Washington's Gettysburg Address? Of course you don't. Yes, I said Washington's Gettysburg Address. I'm not out of my... I'll give you a couple of moments to sit around and sneer and to dash frantically to your history books. Won't do you any good. Your few moments are up anyway. But I know Washington's Gettysburg Address by heart. If you hear coughing in the background, there's something wrong with your radio. There's nobody here. Well, I'll recite it for you, and after this, I want a little more respect out of you guys. As of October 1794, Washington's Gettysburg Address was a joint called Russell's Tavern, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Oh, well, maybe that's not as cute as I thought it was going to be. But it's a fact, nonetheless. During the so-called Whiskey Rebellion, while Washington was president, he did go to Gettysburg and he stayed at a tavern owned at that time by a man named Russell. You don't care, huh? Listen, I'll give you a tip. Very, very few people listen to this program. So you can use that story as a sort of a parlor trick, see? Nobody else will have heard it. It's the truth, too. Still don't like it, huh? Okay, that's the way you want to be. Maybe you'd like my new cold remedy. Everybody knows that the common cold has science up the creek, paddle-less. I have the cure for the common cold. Anybody interested? Any takers? Man over here will take one. All right, mister, just a minute. Be right with you.
Sue.
Of course, this is just my way. You may not care for it. When I catch cold, I know it can't be cured, so I pamper it, encourage it, build it up. If I do it right, it turns into pneumonia. Well, science can cure pneumonia. So that's how I get rid of... Well, I laughed at Fulton once.
All righty. That takes care of that.
Okay.
From Harry Morgan.
Hey, Dale, I have that little special I was going to share here.
Oh,
yeah. You still got time here? I
just
do.
Just enough time.
I created my first little piece of music on using loops. And it doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's kind of fun. I call this little ditty Dave's Ghost Train.
Harmonica reminds me of Once Upon a Time in the West a little bit.
Okay, there you have it, that is really cool, Dave,
and I would like to expound more on that, but we have just about a minute left to tell you that
next week
I get to swear a lot because it's all about curses. Weird Circle, The Shadow, and necrophobia. And then Saturday, it's Cape Cod Mystery Theater. And that's what that is. It's another curse to break, but that'll be next week. And no, we won't be doing unspeakable things with dead people. We will have unspeakable stories of dead people. There. It ends tonight. I'm a minor 69er. Good night. Drive home safely. Goodbye.
Good night.
The castle lights are growing dim.
Good night.
There's no one left but me and him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Right,
I can see you. I'm right here. Vincent.
Don't come alone.
Can you
dig it?
Let's go, Spence!
You did it to a mine.
We ran out of time. We forgot to mention to tell everybody to go see Gar.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
poo.
Well, if you're listening to the archive, though, you can go to Garth Gould at twitch.com. You can catch him and his archive as he has a brand new show this week.
Yep.
Go, Gar, go. Yay.
Yay, Gar. Doing his thing. And
yeah, I like your that ghost train that you did, Dave. That was and it does sound a little bit like the Once Upon a Time in the
West. Audacity did another upgrade, and they showed how to use the show things that I hadn't seen on there before. I don't think they'd had a part of it before, but it showed how to put the loops together and such. I said, wow.
Now.
Alex and I said, well, we're going to do this. He says, yeah, I'm going to try it tonight. So I did after the show last night. I kind of played with that.
Is that, can you make copyrightable music from that device? Like
you probably could. Those are all free loops to use. And matter of fact, during our radio stage days, that's how Dave Crawford created music for us. By using loops.
Oh, no kidding. That is really, really cool.
Because he always told me, oh, Dave, you could do this. And he says, no, I can't. He says, if you knew how easy it was, yeah, you could do it. So this is the first time even knowing about it for over 20 years now. This is the first time I've actually tried to make something. There's several places where you can get free loops to use. So, yeah.
Really creative. Very creative.
Very
creative. That is a nice piece of music. I like that with the train and the...
It is.
The harmonica.
Very haunting.
I really couldn't find the drum beat I wanted for it. So actually, that's when I started bringing in the sound effects. The gong was something I just recorded off of YouTube. And
the piano was what I think made it haunting, you know?
Yes,
that was kind of a haunting tune,
and the harmonica had just enough echo to it that it, you know. Yeah,
I wonder if you could somehow find a place to throw a theremin sound in there, because that would
I would never put it down.
I didn't check that, but I could check for theremin. They have all kinds of different musical instruments.
Oh my!
I think that would be the milk chocolate on top of the chocolate chip cookies.
Oh my God! I'd never put the thing down. I mean, I have this little gag-like theremin. My kids bought me this little thing. You know, it's sort of thereminish, but it's very not. Doesn't sound anything like what Bernard Herrmann was able to use in
Dave Yersin's still. I had a friend that had, he collected a lot of old fans and radios and things like that, and he had a theremin, a working theremin.
Oh, my God.
It was really cool, yeah.
How cool must that be?
But instead of, I'm sure you can find all the theremin that you want online and just like your mentor told you, Dave, it's not as hard as you think once you start doing it.
Yeah, I would imagine not, yeah.
It's like anything.
Yeah,
if you commit
yourself,
if you want to do something, you're going to do it. I never thought I would edit film, but I got put in a position where I had to.
Yeah.
I don't like being committed. I mean, you get just the one color of the white, that white jacket that they put you in when you're committed.
Yes. That happens to me often.
They come with extra buttons. I like it. With extra buttons.
Oh, there's a...
I can't move my arms, though.
Yeah.
The guy's in the back.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
How the heck
is true,
supposed to do
it that? Does, yeah, it does straighten the posture ever so much, but still, you're lacking movement.
Oh, if you get an itch, Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Yeah, I don't want that. See, no, 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 no.
You're driven mad.
Or you're driven sane. I'm mad, mad, I'm insane. Oh, itch. Hey, everybody. I'm actually okay. I'm really okay. If you just come in here and, you know, I'm really, please, I've been itched to sanity.
If I ever got locked up for being insane, I would do a lot of Renfield rants. Flies? Why should I have flies? Have you seen Renfield yet, CW?
I have not, yeah.
I have not yet. I have not seen
not
it either.
Neither.
But that is on the agenda. That's on the agenda.
I just saw a review of all-time Universal Monster stuff, ranking them, and he actually put that somewhere in the middle. Because he included all the new stuff, and actually this person rated Van Helsing as number one. He had Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein up near the top, but he said it's grossly underrated. It's coming around now where people are appreciating it more and more.
The Hugh Jackman movie, Van Helsing?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I would not rate it number one,
but I liked it.
No. I liked it. I liked Hugh Jackman. I liked the premise of it. But at the top, no way, sorry.
And surprisingly, he actually rated the original Wolfman over the newer one, which, okay, it's fair. And he had that Wolfman, I think that was the highest one he rated of the old-time flicks. He actually rated it over Frankenstein and Bride.
Huh.
Even over original Dracula?
Yeah, he had an original Dracula. It was like in the top 7 or 8, I think. And it's this guy's opinion, but yeah, I found that interesting. Like myself, I'd probably have Bride at number one. I'm pretty sure.
Karloff's monster doesn't speak in the first one, but he has actual lines in Bride of Frankenstein, correct?
Yeah, the old man in the that played the fiddle for him and stuff that he befriended taught him to speak.
Oh, that's right. He learned the words good, good, bad, bad.
Good.
Okay.
Friend, good.
Oh, God, now I'm thinking of young Frankenstein, gee.
Yeah.
I'm forever contaminated by young Frankenstein.
Oh, I know.
That's Frankenstein.
Aren't we all?
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, it's great. If you look around on YouTube, there's a lot of outtakes. I had a few of them I played on old Erie House TV when we had that running. But there's a bunch of them, and they're hilarious, the outtakes.
Oh, from young
Frankenstein, yeah.
Yeah, there are.
And Frankenstein. How they got any work done. I mean, the script was fabulous. You had Mel Brooks behind it. You had just
Gene Wilder,
so many
yeah.
Marty Feldman and I'm ashamed. I can't remember her name. She was Lily von Stoop in Blazing Saddles.
Oh yeah, Kit.
Cloris Leachman.
No. The
no,
other
not
gal.
Cloris Leachman. That was Frau Brugger.
Oh,
Madeline Kahn.
Thank
Madeline Kahn, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh, yeah.
She was amazing. She was amazing. Very talented.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, she left us way too soon.
Yes.
That was incredible. Yeah. She passed away with the same condition that took Carrie Fisher.
Really?
Yeah.
What, the force was against her?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. No, she was hanging around the wrong luck sister.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Too soon? Too soon?
Oh, gosh. Excuse me. I'm just gonna scrooch down the lines away from the bolts of lightning that'll be hurling towards you guys in a minute.
Oh, especially me. I'm doomed. I have make no pretenses. That's why I'm enjoying life, because I know what's coming after. It's not going to be good.
Well, I don't know. What will that be? You'll be in a no-smoking room?
Mm.
With no ice cream, yeah.
Oh, no.
With no ice cream. Oh, no, now that's just a bit over the top of cruelty.
I think I'd rather be in CW's version of hell. At least I'll have some ice cream.
Yeah.
But no insulin!
With the tofu on the side. Don't worry, you can have tofu. All the tofu that you want. Mm,
oh, gee,
tofu.
Thanks.
Here's that gallery perspective thing I was talking about now, you know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has their own private heaven and their own private hell.
Yes.
I still can't believe you actually liked math. I mean, seriously, you didn't just like it because there was a cute girl that you had a crush on, but you actually liked the math?
Like what?
I can't believe you liked mathematics in school.
Oh, yes. I was very...
Yeah.
I found math very comforting and logical and orderly. Yes.
Are you sure you're telling the truth, or because there was a really cute girl in math class you had a terrible crush on?
No. One of the reasons I didn't pursue it farther is it was pushed down my throat way too hard. Math and science.
Oh.
We had a math Olympiad in five junior high schools. In seventh grade, I placed third place out of all the schools. In eighth grade, I placed second place out of all the schools. In ninth grade, I entered two different things. One of them was advanced algebra or something, and one was geometry. And I didn't place at all, and I got grounded for 6 months for not placing out of five schools. That took the taste out of my mouth.
No kidding.
Yeah, you don't do that to a rebel kid. No, that and when I tried signing up for college and stuff, you know, I was going to use my dad's GI Bill, but I'm like, you know, I took all these advanced placement classes in high school that were supposed to count towards college credits, and my Kent was like, nah, you got to take this crap again. I'm like, then I will be causing trouble because I know this stuff already. I already took the class, you know?
Yeah.
And you're just trying to take the money my father earned defending our country. And it just, I don't know, it felt like a cult, and I just didn't want to go the college route. So I got into school and died.
I don't blame it. You know, it's the same thing when you, even if you pay for college out of your pocket, if you're not on a grant or a loan or a scholarship, you have to show up to class. Now, if it's out of my pocket, because I paid out of pocket for college, I should just be able do the homework, do the test, get the grade, get the degree. No, you got to show up. And that's because they get money.
Yes.
To show that a person is actually there. You know, there are a few choice 3- and 4-letter words I have for that.
I tried to get my son to skip a grade, and that same thing. No. You will miss a whole year of money on this, kid. What are you, nuts? They didn't say that, but I knew that was the – and same thing when I was a kid. They wanted me to skip first grade and get me into second. Because they weren't teaching me anything. They're telling me to teach the other kids. I'm like, no, that's your job.
That's
your job.
Exactly.
Your job.
It's a booming thing. I'm pretty much done with quote-unquote traditional – education, and that's why people are going online more and more. You get a certificate or two, and you're pretty much learning the same thing almost someone has a bachelor's in, only you're not hip deep and dead. You can sit there for either 3 hours and study or 15 minutes, put it on pause, come back later on when you want to.
The downside to that, though, is kids do need to be socialized. You need to get them together with other kids and learn how to get along and learn how to get along with people who disagree with you and learn how to people who, you know, the kind of people you want to gravitate towards naturally. That's why I hate when they do all these stupid things at work and all these little dinners. And stuff. No, you know, you're trying to force socialization. That's not cool. If you want to go out to lunch with a particular person, you'll go out to lunch with them because you like them and you like their company.
Yeah. Well, I say skip.
Relationships
that.
Are organic,
no,
man.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do that. Besides, you know, I'm antisocial.
I am too a little bit. I am socially retarded, if not antisocial.
No, I'm not. The thing is, growing up, I was always, in a sense, the outcast, the target, easy to pick on, that kind of a thing. And so I banded together with the other outcasts, and we would spend time together and eat lunch together, things like that. And
yeah.
So I got out of school and into college where I said, you know, it's okay to be different. When you're in high school, it's not okay to be different. When you get into college or after high school, it's okay to be different. I'm doing things that these people that I wanted them to like me and they didn't or picked on me or whatever. I'm doing things that they'd love to be doing or trying or something. So now I'm one of the cool kids. You know, it's
Dave, you were always one of the cool kids. You just didn't know.
No, I was not.
No, they
I was
didn't
one
know
of the
it.
Outcasts.
They did not know it.
Yeah. Well, that could be. There you go. They didn't know it. Aha.
Yeah,
neither did
I.
Exactly.
Neither did I know that one day I would live to be long enough to get one vote for mayor of Akron. You know, what can I say?
Who knew? I mean, wow. Same Atlanta.
I don't know.
My mother would have been so proud.
And you'll be in a history class. Okay, class, here's the quiz. In the year 2023, who was the one who was on as a written-in candidate for mayor?
For Akron. Ohio.
100% of your Akron. This is 100% of your grade.
I wouldn't do that to any kid.
Dave Binkley for mayor.
I was never in that cool group to answer your question. So I would accept any socialization I could get, and it was with the other outcasts. And there's nothing wrong with that because outcasts can be pretty good, long friends.
Yes, I hung around with the weird people, either the the nerds, like, you know, the science fiction weirdo nerds, but a lot of those were crossovers into the.
What part of my thing did I say was weird? I don't remember saying that.
Well. Smell the coffee. No.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's what I was. Anyway, I was one of the weird dudes. I mean, nobody collected comic books or liked monster movies that much, not as much as I did.
Yeah,
very few.
You created your own films and showed them in high school.
Yeah, well, more in junior high. Yeah, I did. Some animations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, you just described Forrest J. Ackerman and George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, as well as yourself.
In junior high, I did start writing a comic strip. Believe it or not, that's how I started. That's how I ended up at the weird table, I think, or the outcast table. Before I knew it, a friend of mine wanted to join in, so we had I made the Adventures of Super Mutt, and he came along, so we had the Adventures of Super Mutt and Captain Weird. And the same person from junior high school is when I invited and wrote an amazing episode along with me for an episode of Spaceship One. So this is this goes back a long time, and he's still just as unique as we ever were. How's that?
Well, that's good.
There you go.
I bet if we went to the same school, we would have hung out together.
That would have been cool. I'd have looked up to you.
No, you wouldn't have.
I was only 5'1". I'd looked up to you. Yeah.
No, nobody would have looked. Nobody looked up to me. nor should they have.
Jeez.
sky. Stop it. You're making it rain.
Please. I keep telling my kids. I'm an example of a perfect father, an example of what not to be.
Yeah.
And with that sage advice, gentlemen, I must be away.
Okay.
As always, fun time. Fun time as usual, and I will do my last duty of the evening. The one, the only, the guy who did not have a PhD or a master's or a bachelor, but who is a Phi Beta Kappa of the keyboard, Mr. Jimmy Durante.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You did your last duty. Now it's time for Paladin to do his.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Horrible what we say, and it could think to do.
Yeah.
Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Yes, Mrs. Calabash is mine. Good luck, Mrs. Calabash.
I hope our show did not leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Do you mind signing off the radio?